The NBA, blessed with record ratings during last season's playoffs and stars like LeBron James and Dirk Nowitzki, is on the verge of not having a season this year. Regular games have already been missed because players and franchise owners are fighting for their respective shares of the pie. It's a story as old as time, but not a particularly easy one to cover, especially for sports writers. After all, says NPR sports reporter Mike Pesca, most sports reporters are also fans.
I think the number one factor underlining all the sports reporting around this is that we really, really want to have an NBA season. It's a lot different from when UPS went out on strike, or it's a lot different when Hormel did, or Overnight, or Verizon, where usually the labor reporters, sure, they're human beings, they want workers to get a fair deal, but they're sort of reporting things with less of a vested interest.
So like when David Stern, the commissioner of the league who represents the owners, comes out and says, "This is the best deal I can give to you. You should take it." The reporters say, "Oh my God, this is the best deal?"
Let's take an example. When he says, "We're now in our nuclear winter," a good quote. But if a similar quote, an Armageddon-like quote, were given by the president of UPS when they were negotiating with the Teamsters, it would have been taken with more of a grain of salt than that quote was taken by the NBA writers, or at least the people who decide how much play to give the NBA story. I'll give you another example. There was a story a few weeks ago about the discontent among owners, and it portrayed David Stern as trying to hold together a coalition of owners, and this latest offer might eventually evaporate. All that could be true, but in the reporting, I didn't see it sufficiently noted. It's all in the NBA owners' interest to tell the public and the players, sort of the good cop, bad cop, "Watch out, my partner there's crazy. Who knows what he's going to do? You better take the offer while we can."
Outline the narrative that you hear so often that makes you think, boy, these sports reporters are really out of their depth.
This is a case of millionaires versus billionaires. And when will they come to their senses? When do they realize that it is a privilege to play the game and settle their differences? Well, like how? Why? I mean, we're talking about rational economic actors. It doesn't matter if you're talking about $20,000 a year or $2 million a year. There is still a rational economic calculus for each set of figures. And we hear it in moral terms. We don't hear it in rational economic calculus terms. It doesn't surprise me. The conversation about sports is quite often a stand-in for the conversation about morality. It often becomes a morality tale. This guy hit in the clutch because he has moral fiber and moral toughness. Or this guy, you know, blew the coverage on the pass because he's obviously has character defects.
And this story is particularly difficult, isn't it? It's so hard to track the money to determine which side's telling the truth. How many sports reporters have expertise in forensic accounting?
If you read the good sports reporters, they're good reporters. If you read people like Chris Mannix and Ian Thompson in Sports Illustrated, Henry Abbott writing for the True Hoop part of ESPN, Ken Berger on CBS, Larry Kuhn, who is a web-only expert on the salary cap, these guys know what they're talking about. My main complaint is the shorthand that is sometimes used in the headlines on places like ESPN in quick hit segments on sports radio, where it's usually presented that the players have screwed themselves out of money because the act of canceling games is seen as a failure, is seen as stupidity, is seen as selfishness.
So, you know, if it's millionaires versus billionaires, and the sports writers have a vested interest, they're expressing the primal scream they think they're hearing from the fans, but they're not really necessarily examining the case.
90% of your audience thinks it is millionaires versus billionaires, and I can't believe they can't settle it. And the conversation that's being had on sports talk radio isn't because the audience disagrees. It's because the audience is going, "Hell yeah, preach on, brother." I'm just saying that there should be a little more examination of the fact that these are negotiating tactics as much as these are moral positions or smart or foolish choices.
Mike, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Mike Pesca covers sports for NPR.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.